This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right. Did I drop out? Did it drop out? Okay. All right. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 2. It says, "Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and silver for things of silver, the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones, and of divers color, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy place." Underline, "I have prepared." Then drop down to verse 5. "The gold for things of gold, silver for things of silver, for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" Here is the story, our text story, of David giving publicly his gift for the house of God, and then challenging all of Israel to join him in this time of public giving for the kingdom of God. And so we have used this as a model for this time in our church where we are preparing our hearts for this season of giving. We're teaching from this subject the power of affectionate giving. The power of affectionate giving. This would be our third lesson in this series. And in the first lesson, we found out that it is the will of God for us to become excited about the things of God. Make a note, Colossians 3 and 23 says, "But whatever I do, do it heartily as unto the Lord." So it's the will of God for me to always be excited about the things of God. And in that excitement, it becomes contagious and it spills over and it causes others also to want to be involved. And so after David has given his gift, then others gave that gift. We use this as a pattern for what we're about to do in the coming days. Everything we do here at the church, we do it with a scriptural pattern, because I believe that when you're settled in knowing that you are following an order of God, then you can withstand whatever persecution that comes as a result of it. Now, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles now to Colossians chapter 3. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. When we talk about affectionate giving, we're talking about giving from a disposition, a mental disposition of love and intense emotional attachment. It's the pursuit of giving with promptness and excitement. And since I'm in control of my affections, I can get excited about anything I want to get excited about. Amen? And so if I get focused and if I really understand the impact of my giving, then I can get excited about it. And God wants us to be excited about the things of the kingdom of God. So in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, on the earth." So in that he tells me I can set my affection, then that means I'm in control of my affections. I'm in control. So we can get excited about it. So we asked the question on last week, why was David excited about his gift? First of all, he was excited about the opportunity to give because he had the proper perspective on his prosperity. He understood that his prosperity came from God. He'd received it from God, and he knew he had the responsibility to give. That was number one. Number two, we said he was excited about this time of giving because he had a passion for his posterity. He had a passion for his posterity. Posterity has to do with future generations, the next generation. And he really wanted Solomon to succeed. He wanted Solomon to be a success. And so he was gathering these resources so that Solomon would have sufficiency when it came time for him to actually build the temple. The third reason that we said that David got excited was because he understood the possibilities of provisions. the possibilities of provisions. He knew what could happen if you had sufficient provisions. He knew something significant was going to be built. He knew that because of the provisions, some things would be possible that would not be possible in a state of lack. And the believers have to look at that also today. That there is more that the church can do when the church has the resources to do it with. The fourth and final reason we said that he was excited about this time of giving was because he understood the potential of the people. In other words, David understood the principle of giving, sowing and reaping. And he knew that if he not only gave, but the people also gave, then they would get a return on their giving and something exciting would happen in their lives as well. And so with that, we look at David so as a model for this time of giving in our church. And so we see that he says, I prepared to give. So that's what we're going to look at today, how to prepare to give. We're not going to be able to cover all the points, but because we have 3 points. We want to talk about preparing my head, preparing my heart, and preparing my hands. Preparing my head with understanding the scripture. Preparing my heart with an unusual sacrifice. Preparing my hands with an unwavering commitment to sow. An unwavering commitment to sow. So we want to prepare our heads today by understanding the scripture. Turn with me in your Bibles now, and let's look now quickly in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. What I understand, even the devil can't steal from me. What I understand, even the devil cannot steal from me. And last week we began to introduce to some, and of course to remind others of, the giving of the first fruit offering. The giving of the first fruit offering. And so we're going to look at it because we give our first fruit offering as a church family. We practice this first fruit principle in March of every year, a time of impact giving. And we take a select portion of our increase and we offer it to God as a sacrifice, claiming the first fruit blessing on our giving at that time. But we need to understand it scripturally so that if you're ever attacked by anybody, ever approached by anybody, just because they haven't read the Bible and they're walking in spiritual ignorance won't intimidate you. Hallelujah. Verse 19 says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in their hearts. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Jesus is teaching here and he says that when a person doesn't understand the word, it is that time that the devil can come and steal it. But the inverse of that is also true. That if I understand the word, when the devil comes, he cannot steal it. Amen? So we want to get an understanding of this giving, this first fruit giving. Turn with me your Bibles now to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Because God is looking for passionate givers. He's looking for those who are affectionate about giving. Those who are excited about giving. He has his radar set and he's on the lookout for those who are passionate about their giving. Amen. We're passionate about a lot of things. Passionate about our sports teams. Ladies get excited and passionate about going shopping. Let's get passionate about giving. Amen. We can do this. Look at the person that said, we can do this. All right, verse 7 says, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth the what? A cheerful giver. Now look there in verse 7 in the Amplified. Those of you who have a light sword Bible, the Amplified Bible says, let each one give as he's made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowful or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above all things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. Whose heart is in his giving. So God says, look, he wants your heart in your giving. Amen? And we can do this. Big person said, we can do this. We can create an excitement and an expectation, even as David had an expectation of what his gift was going to do for the kingdom and for his family. We can get an excitement about what the gifts we give are going to do for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because God is looking for someone to bless others through. All right, watch this. Look there in verse 10. It says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He gives seed to the sower. Everybody say, give seed to the sower. That is, look, if you really have in your heart to be a sower, the scripture declares he'll give seed to the sower. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Now, years ago, Dr. Bridget and I looked at Luke 6:38, and we got a revelation from Luke 6:38. It says, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. Well, we saw something in there, that in order for increase to come in the earth, God has to bring it through the hands of men. So we committed ourselves at that time and said to the Lord, Lord, make me the man. Since in order for folk to get it, it's got to come through somebody, make me one of the ones that's got to come through. Amen. Amen. Now, you got to understand, if water flows through the pipe going to get wet too. If the water's going to flow through the pipe going to get wet. Amen. Praise the Lord. And enough flow through me for me to bless others, and I'm all right. Amen. Now, it's a commitment that God is looking for people to pour resources through, and you've got to decide. Listen, you are a kingdom person. We don't operate like the world. We understand that God has a plan for our lives. And one of the purposes and plans for our lives is to be a blessing in the earth. So now the world don't understand why we give like we give. World doesn't understand why I give like I give. I'm a six-figure giver. I've been giving six figures for a long time. For many of us, what do you mean six-figure giver? I give over $100,000, over $200,000 every year, over $300,000, over $400,000, over $500,000, over $600,000 every year. I mean, there ain't no sense in trying to be no hater and all that kind of stuff. I'm just trying to tell you. See, I'm not a hypocrite. See, folks don't understand why you get that. Because I'm supposed to give. I'm a giver. He gives seed to the sower. Watch this. And then he multiplies the seed sown. See, you don't understand. If I'm giving that kind of seed in the ground, how much more? There's a reason why it comes back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I decided to be a sower. Are y'all listening? I decided to be a sower. You got to make that decision right where you are that you can be a sower. 2 Kings chapter 12. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Amen. Some of y'all looking at me strange too. You don't understand why I give that kind of way, much money away. Because the kingdom of God can do more if it's got more to work with. Amen. God can trust me. Amen. He can trust me. He can trust me with big stuff. Because I ain't afraid to give. I'm not afraid to pull a trigger. I got a spiritual understanding of my purpose. And with that spiritual understanding of my purpose, you know, with my heart's ready to sacrifice. And my hands are ready to sow. Amen. So now, I only say that when I ain't saying it to brag. You got to brag, you got the wrong. I know my whole personality is just kind of forward, you understand? And so you may take it the wrong way, but I don't mean it the wrong way. I get what I get, whether you know it or not. But I'm not a hypocrite. I believe in the principle. I started right where I was. And the principle does work. And if you can't see a living example of the principle, then the devil can challenge it. But the Bible says if you obey and serve him, you can spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Amen. I've been with the company 40 plus years. Amen. 40, I've been preaching since I was a kid. Walking with the Lord, serving the Lord. Amen. Learning how to use my faith. So if it ain't working for me, yes, after all this time, then is there hope for anybody else? But I'm a living witness that it works. Amen. Buck grew up with me. Buck went to the same school with me. He knew I didn't grow up rich. My folks was poor. I didn't say poor, I said poor. Amen. Buck in my church. He in my church, he saw me grow up as a boy preacher. He got respect for me because he saw me grow up. What, Burner? That Burner. He saw me grow up. Amen. It works. And you got to be bold enough to just front folk out. It does work. Okay. I got to finish my lesson. Y'all get me to testify and that kind of stuff. I won't finish my lesson, and we gonna, we need to, and then y'all be the slow class. Y'all be behind everybody else. Okay, you stay on talking, so I'm going to stay around talking. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter, 2 Kings chapter what? 12. Now look at verse 4. It says, and Joash said to the priests, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring to the house of the Lord, let the priest take it to them, every man of his own, of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found. So money does cometh. Look at the person next to say, money cometh. Money cometh. So he says, money cometh in your heart to give.
Yeah. My
God. See? See, when I've sold out my life to the kingdom, then he's gonna I'll be purposing my heart, not just for me, but I'll be purposing in my heart to give. And he'll send the money because he gives seed to the sower. I challenge you, I dare you to try to give. Some of y'all didn't get excited about that. He'll give seed to the sower. Well, just like the brother started talking about how he got ready to pay his down payment and he had his earnest money and that sort of thing. It was a stretch for him. Sometimes it's a stretch when they're getting ready to give. But when I understand the principle, I don't mind stretching. Because he gives seed to the sower. But he don't stop right there. He multiplies the seed sown. You can't beat a deal like that. You're purposing your heart for the seed. He gives you the seed. When you sow the seed, then he multiplied back to you. And when you purpose in your heart, this ain't some game. Got it? And folk who talk against prosperity, here I go again, finna mess with you. You match my giving and then we can talk. Just match my giving and then we can talk about how you don't like prosperity. The kingdom of God can do more when it's got more to work with. Amen, amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, turn with your Bibles now to 2 Chronicles 31. Let's look now at the first fruit practice. No, go to Proverbs 3 and 9. And then we'll go to 2 Chronicles. Proverbs 3 and 9. This first fruit offering is an incredible offering. It's a worship offering. And if you'll be submissive enough to the Lord to embrace it, you're going to step into a whole nother level of prosperity. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Everybody have it now? Come on, let's read it together, Church of God in Christ style. Come on, everybody, with some passion. Church of God in Christ, read with passion. Come on, let's read it. Let's read it, Church of God in Christ style. Come on, first, verse 9.
Honor the Lord with thy substance.
With the first fruit of thine
increase,
so shall thy barns be filled with, and thy presses shall burst out. Okay, now everybody want to participate. Okay, let's do it real right. Well, come on, let's do it real good. We'll get back up here so we can hear everybody. Come on, let's read it one more time. All right? And with the first fruit of thine, so shall I be. And our presses shall burst out. Amen. Now, first fruit, we're going to get an understanding of this first fruit principle so we'll know how to practice it with a complete spiritual, scriptural understanding. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. It's a gift separate and apart from the tithe. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So we're going to establish what we preach today in the mouth of at least two witnesses. I will normally give you one, and I'll just quote the other for time's sake. I'll give you a reference for the other for time's sake, all right? But it's different from the tithe. It is not the tithe. The first fruit is different from the tithe. 2 Chronicles chapter, what I tell you?
31.
Are you there? Look with me in verse 5. It says, and as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundance. So I can see here that it's different. Now, make a note of Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 35 through 37, because in Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 35 through 37, there is another reference to it being different from the tithe. It's different from the tithe. All right, now, turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34, it is a discriminate gift. It's discriminately selected. In other words, and I'm only saying this so we clear up confusion that you may hear when you hear other people talking about the first fruit. It was a discriminate offering. They lived in an agrarian society, and when the harvest comes, we all city folks, so we don't too much know about harvest stuff, so somebody got to tell us, you know, and we got to read books on it and that sort of thing. But you plant something, it all don't harvest at the same time. Everything don't ripen at the same time. It ripens in stages, so you have to pick it in stages. So that first picking would be the first fruit. That first picking would be the first fruit. But then of that first picking, he required the first of or the best of. So it wasn't all of the first picking. It was the best of the first picking. So the person could discriminately look at the first picking and decide what part of it he would sacrifice. And that's important because we look at Old Testament practices, patterns, so that we can establish New Testament practices. We look at the pattern in the Old Testament so that we can extract from that pattern how we're going to practice it today. And see, confusion came up when folks start teaching that it's all of the first. Well, it can't be all of the first, because you mean to tell me if I get an inheritance of $200,000 and they give me a $200,000 check and I'm going to have to give it all? I don't think so. I wouldn't have an inheritance. I wouldn't have one. If I get a $200,000 inheritance check, and if it's all of it, that's my first inheritance check. First and last, maybe the only one they give me. You understand? And I'm going to take all it? No. No, that's not how you practice that. That don't even make sense. And then it's not scriptural. Cool, let's go to the scripture. You in Exodus now? All right, got everybody's attention today. Amen. All right, now, some of the older members, y'all, you know, I already taught this already, but you know, it's good to be reminded of it. All right, look there in verse 26, it says, "And the first of the first fruit of the land thou shalt bring to the house of the Lord thy God." And the first of the first fruit. First of, everybody say first of. Now go to, you might want to put your ribbon here because we'll close, we'll come back here in the closing part of the lesson, and you'll be, it'll be easy for you to find it. Go to Ezekiel now, chapter 44. Ezekiel chapter 4. It was discriminately selected. So I think about the first fruit. I understand this is something in my choice. I look at my first. I look at a representation. It's a principle. I look at a representation, choice representation of my whole that I choose to sacrifice to God, worship Him with it, you know, as a source and sustainer of my life. And because of that, I obligate God to bless the rest. Amen. All right. Ezekiel 44. It was before the law, after the law, and incorporated into the law. All right. Are you there? Verse 30. It says, "And the first of all, the first fruit of all things, and of every oblation of all, and of every sort of your oblation, shall be the priest. Ye shall also give unto the priest the first of all your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house." Now, underline that blessing rest in your house. I'll refer to it a little bit later. I'm going to ask you to come back to the scripture. I'll just make a reference to it. But now, back up in the first part of verse 30, it says, "the first of." Now, those of you who have reference Bibles, you may have a little number by the word first. Do you have that? And you look in the reference portion, and it says the chief. Right? The chief part, because it's the best part of the first fruit. Of the first gathering. So it's a discriminate gift. It's not all of it. It's the first, it's the best part of it. It's your sacrificial best. God trusts you enough to leave it up to you. Amen. All right. Turn with your Bibles now while we're there in Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel 48, verse 14. It becomes a holy thing. When I set that thing aside, God deems it as a holy thing. And when he deems that a holy thing, that means it better be handled right on both ends. It better be handled right on your end and to the first person and to the church you invested in. Glory to God. Look at verse 14. It says, And they shall not sell of it, neither exchange, nor alienate the first fruit of the land, for it is holy unto the Lord. It becomes a consecrated holy thing. All right. Turn with me the Bible to Deuteronomy 26. It's part of a worship component. It's part of a worship component. Now, I embraced it initially when I heard about it and began to study it because I saw that this was an opportunity to worship God in a very special way. It's a worship gift. Now, in Deuteronomy 26, we have traditionally used this, even in the traditional of the Word of Faith churches, we've used this thinking that we were confessing the tithe. This is not a confession for the tithe. This is a confession of first fruit giving. All right, verse 2. Let's just let the scripture talk. It says, then thou shalt take of the first of all of the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord, unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and shall set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt say, speak and say before the Lord thy God, ready to perish, was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few. And there became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptian evilly treated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord our God, our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our afflictions and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. And he has brought us into this place and hath given us this land, even the land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hath given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given thee, given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Now, can't you see this? He's teaching them now how to bring this as a worship. That's why we're going to have one whole day. We're bringing it as a worship to God. Amen, amen, amen. All right, turn with me, Bibles, now to Numbers chapter 18, because we need to cover this controversial part of first fruit. Because the controversial part of first fruit, I'm when I teach it, you'll hear I ain't got no problem with it. I'm just saying we need to be consistent with how we administer the first fruit. Many preachers teach that, okay, because the Bible says it belongs to the priest, that all the first fruit offering ought to come to the pastor. You know, amen. They said, well, we don't know where you stand on that. It all ought to come to the pastor. Well, according to scripture, it was given for the Levitical tribe. That is true. But so was the tithe given to the Levitical tribe. And I just say to pastors, you know, be consistent. If you're not keeping all the tithe, why you want to keep all the first fruit? Now, you can do what you want to. I'm just saying you ought to be consistent. And consistency, you follow me, would say that however you deal with the tithe of the church, you ought to deal the same way with the first fruit. So if you ain't pocketing all the tithe, you ought not be pocketing all the first fruit. Well, you can do what you want to because you got scriptural precedence for it. Now, here at our church, it goes for the support of the kingdom of God. That's what it goes for. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at the scripture on it. Verse 12. And the best of I'm in Numbers chapter 18. I know I dropped out then, but that's okay. They edit that out. All of the best of the oil and the best of the wine and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which shall offer unto the Lord have I given thee. Talking to the Levitical tribe now, talking to Aaron and his boys. Huh? What's that? I'm in verse what? Verse 12. Did I tell y'all verse 12? It dropped out when I said the verse. Okay, verse 12. I should get some things in the spirit. All right, now come. I'm in verse 13 now. It says, and whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be thine, talking to Aaron and his children. And every one that is clean in thine house shall eat of it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. So, you know, scriptural reference for it, yeah, preacher can keep it all if you want to do that. But I'm saying, you got to be consistent, because the tithe was also given for the support of the Levitical tribe, which was for the support of the work of God, principle-wise. So in that same light, however you deal with the tithe, you ought to use that same principle in dealing with first fruit. So if Rev don't keep all the tithe, and normally he doesn't because he got to pay the bills, then Rev ought not be keeping all first fruit. That's all I'm saying. But like I said, Pastor, you don't have to write me no letter. You don't have to, send me no dirty letter or talk to me. You can do what you want to. I'm just saying consistency should be respected. Okay, turn with me in your Bibles now to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Yes, it's under your authority. I agree 100%. Amen. But don't teach that that's the only way it can be handled, is that it's got to come to you. It doesn't have to. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just going to teach it right, you understand? He said, and I said, I ain't scared of none of them, nobody, you know. Let's teach it right, you know. And so a lot of guys, you know, when they hear about the first fruit and they hear it can come to the preacher, then they get all excited about it. That's the wrong way to get excited about it. I mean, that's the wrong reason to get excited about it. Get excited about it because it's an opportunity for you to worship God with. Amen. All right, look there with me in verse 42, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 42, it says, and that came a man from Baal Shalisha, I did my best, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof, and he said, man of God said, the prophet says, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what, should I set this before 100 men? And he said, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. So the prophet here was given the first fruits. He said, take this first fruit, minister it to the people. Let the people profit from it. And then he said, the servant said, wait a minute, this is not enough. This is not enough. And the prophet said, no, thus saith the Lord, that it'll be enough and you'll have left over. Because it became a supernatural supply. Everybody say supernatural supply. Because that's going to mean something important in just a moment when we do our recap. It causes a supernatural supply. So now, what have we learned thus far in summary about the first fruit offering? Number one, that it's the best offering of all my increase. It's the best offering of my increase. I look at my resources, and out of my resources, based on principle, I pick a select part as my offering to God, a first fruit offering that I choose to worship him with. Number two, it's given for the support of the kingdom of God, for the work of God. Number three, it becomes holy once it's set aside and presented to God and I worship God with it, and it entitles me to blessings. Now, we'd have to give to God just because he'd ask us to. But God always attaches a blessing to any time he asks us to give. Now, that's good, isn't it? Aren't you excited about that? Your enthusiasm overwhelms me. See, he could just ask for the first fruit offering and won't give you nothing. He could ask for the tithe and not give you nothing. He could ask for the offering and not promise you a dime. And because he God, you better ante up. Come on, right? I mean, just because he God, you got to ante up. But he's not like that. He says, you give, it shall be given unto you. He always promises a return. And when I looked and examined the seven returns on first fruit giving, now that's enough to make you excited. All right, turn with me in your Bibles back to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Anybody getting blessed in the house today? Amen, amen. All right, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now here's the promise. The promise is the flow of abundance with the ability to store up and save. The flow of abundance. He's going to cause abundance to flow to you, but then more than that, you're going to have enough to save. You're going to have enough to store up and save some. How many wish you had more money saved? Come on. Yes, all right, amen. Since I've been practicing this principle, I got more saved than I ever had. Glory to God. Amen. Because that's what he promised me. Now remember, promises of God are received by what? By faith. So I have to know how to release my faith for it, but I got to know what I'm entitled to. When I give this first fruit offering, he promises me a flow of abundance and enough to save, enough to store up. Now, of course, I taught this principle to Dr. Robert Wilkes. I shared it with him, and he listened at my tapes on it, and then he started his first fruit giving. And he came here and preached, and also preached it to the, shared with the brethren this week. How, since he got that and started practicing that principle, how much in store he has. Number two, hallelujah. Number two, he will take away the desire of my enemy to hurt me. All right, let me show you that in the Bible, Exodus chapter 34. He will take the desire of my enemy away to hurt me. Amen, to steal from me. Yes, he will. Glory to God. All right, are you there? Exodus chapter, how many just love to read the Bible? Yeah. Good stuff in the Bible. All right, watch this. Verse 23 says, thrice in a year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. And I will cast out nations before thee, underline that, enlarge thy borders, underline that, neither shall any man desire thy land, when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice a year. Now what we're going up for, all right? Verse 26, for time's sake, I'll just skip verse 25. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not seize a kid in his mother's milk. That was a heathen practice, and he was telling them not to do it. But he's saying, look, but he was in respect for them bringing this first fruit offering up. He says, number one, what I'm going to do is, he says, all right, I will cast out nations before thee. I will remove opposition to your increase. I like to say, he'll make room for me at the top. Look at the person that said, he's going to make room for me at the top. Glory to God. Now, I'm giving you seven, you follow me? And so that would be number two. And I'll get to the others. I got my numbers all mixed up, but you just keep writing them, and at the end, you'll come up with seven. Okay? All right. Number two, he says, I will enlarge your borders. And in other words, he's going to give me more land holdings, increase my real estate possessions. Glory to God. All right. All right. Look what else he says. Neither shall any man desire thy land. He's going to take the desire of my enemies away from them. To hurt me, to harm me, to take my stuff. Your enthusiasm overwhelms me. Anybody happy but me? So what we have number one, he's going to give me the flow of abundance and the ability to save. Number two, take away the desire of my enemy to hurt me. Number three, expand my land holdings. Number four, drive out opposition to my increase. Make room for me at the top. Amen. All right. Then number five, he will place his blessings on my household. Now we read that in Ezekiel 44:30. So for time's sake, we don't have to go back there, that he'll bless my household. My household, my family, going to experience blessing, increased blessing, just because I give him a first fruit offering. All right? Number six, hallelujah. He will consecrate blessings on the rest of my income. That's Romans chapter 11 and verse 16. It says, if the first fruit be holy, so is the lump. I obligate God to bless the rest. Amen. Number seven is, it will cause, my offerings now cause, supernatural supply for the kingdom. Supernatural supply for the kingdom. So that means the kingdom of God can attempt supernatural things. See, when I say our church is taking on the responsibility of giving to every soldier who's been in combat, giving to him, putting in his hand or her hand a spiritual CD that's going to minister life to them so that they won't have to go through post-war depression, combat depression. Showing them God's way to walk in mental health and emotional health. Well, why don't you let the government do it? God didn't tell the government. He told me. Well, we pay our taxes. Understand that that's your taxes. This is an assignment, but we can attempt a supernatural assignment because we'll have supernatural supply. Okay. All right. Go back to Deuteronomy 26 and we close. Anybody get happy today besides me? Okay, because see, next week we're going to talk about preparing my heart. We're talking about how to prepare my heart to sacrifice, amen, unselfishly. I'm going to sacrifice unselfishly, because whenever I sacrifice unselfishly, we're going to show a pattern in the Bible. God always shows up. David says, I gave precious stones. And whenever you give the precious, God shows up. Amen. Amen. And then the final lesson we're going to do is going to be on preparing my hands. And my hands got to be prepared so that I will sow unwaveringly. I won't choke in the middle of my sowing. I just do it. Everybody say, just do it. Amen. So when some people come up to the mic, and then, you know, it's a last opportunity to choke when you're at the mic. You could have choked in your seat, but you didn't choke. And you come to the mic and you got a seed, biggest seed you ever gave away. And they stand there and they start studying. We're going to say, do it. Do it. Do it. Pull the trigger. Do it. Little person that say, do it. Go on, tell them, do it. Oh, that ain't no passion in there. That ain't no passion. Come on, tell them, do it.
Do it.
Do it. That's what he said. Now, what is he doing? I'm building my members up in faith. That's what I'm doing. This is on purpose, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. And so this is a time where I am on purpose building our church up for this time of giving, because we intend to do some supernatural things in 2005. Amen. I say, I think the body of Christ needs to be motivated to do something special in a year, and not just believe for the year to be blessing to them. I don't know why every year is just a blessing for the person. How come I give? Okay, we're getting one now. I'm getting that. All right. So, in closing, it's a time for worship. Amen. And so they brought their gifts, Deuteronomy chapter 26, put them in a basket. And the key thing there was it was a time to worship. I don't mind worshiping God, because I got something to worship Him for. Amen. Because I know where I am. I am because He brought me. Now Israel, they confessed that they got brought out of bondage. How many know we've all been in a type of bondage? Satan had me, but Jesus, He let me, He set me free, He lifted me. Anyone you want to say? I've been there. I've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness, translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. I got something to worship Him for. I'm where I am not because I'm so smart, but I am where I am because He's so good. See, so it's not a problem for me taking a first fruit offering. Oh, no, 50,000. I don't make 50,000 a week. I believe I'm worth it, but, you know, I don't make 50,000 a week. I believe I'm worth it, though. Well, now, you don't have to believe you're worth it, but I believe I'm worth 50,000. Amen. And then I ain't going to cap myself. I say, I don't make it yet.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Death and life's in the power of my tongue. I believe everything I say come to pass. I'm on my way to making $50,000 a year. You know. My Lord. Yeah. Yeah. All my members say the week. Yeah, they already corrected me right quick. Now, so I know $50,000 is a whole lot of money. You got it? But I don't mind giving it to God. He gives seed to the sower. Look, the whole reason I got it is because of Him. And He's going to multiply it back to me. You watch. I'll stand up here before the end of the year with an incredible testimony. Are you listening to me? All right, let's just confess the word and then we'll be through. All right, let's confess it. Repeat after me. Father, now it's on your card, but don't you look at your card, because I'm going to change it while I go. So you look at your card, then I'll be going. So you say, he can't read. No, I'm under the Spirit. I've been led by the Spirit as I confess this. All right. Father, I thank you that you delivered me from the powers of darkness, brought me into the kingdom of your Son. I worship you as the source and sustainer of my life. I acknowledge that you and you alone have caused my increase. So I offer as a first fruit offering my best sacrifice, my best set aside of my increase according to your word. I thank you, Father, for the flow of supernatural abundance in my life. I thank you that you restrain my enemies'
desire to hurt me.
And that you're driving out opposition
to my increase.
You're making room for me at the top.
Thank you, Father,
that my family is blessed.
The rest of my increase is blessed.
I thank you, Father.
And I boldly declare
that my first fruit offering
causes increase.
I have the resolve to save some
so that my storehouse
has plenty.
Now, Jesus,
you are the high priest of my confession.
You ever make intercession for me?
Now worship the Father on my behalf.
Thank you, Father.
Your work in the earth
experiences supernatural supply
because of my obedience
in first fruit offerings.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. Nobody's walking. Nobody's moving. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you prepare our hearts with scriptural and spiritual understanding. And we go forth today because...